Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And good morning to you. It's good to see you. If you've got your Bibles, we're going to turn right to the Old Testament in Habakkuk. We're going to take another little detour from Romans. Maybe next week we'll go back to Romans. We'll see. But if you got your Bibles, Habakkuk is where we're going to be. I shared these verses a few weeks ago on my Facebook page. I try to share some scripture each week as an encouragement to people, and I shared these some weeks ago, and that was actually before there was any Russian-Ukraine conflict and invasion, and so there's that, obviously, And the last couple years, obviously, with COVID, we've been through an awful lot. And as has been mentioned already this morning, you look at the prayer list, and it's really long. And so a lot of people are going through a lot of things. And so I've read these verses over and over the last 6 weeks or so. And I think how fitting they are for this morning for us to be reminded of this. So I'm in Habakkuk 3, 17, 18, and 19. I'm going to read it on two different translations. I love the simplicity and the clarity of the New Living Translation. But I'm going to start with the New King James. If you've got your Bible, let's look at it together. Here's what Habakkuk says. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive tree may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like a deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills. Let me just say a word of prayer before we go any further, too. Father, help us by your Spirit to absorb this word. To really internalize and individualize these words for each of us. Guide us by your Spirit. Guide us by your Spirit. Move amongst us, O God, by your Spirit. There are struggles among us. There have been challenges in America for 2 years while we have had COVID and death. There's been plenty of others. Spirit of God, help us to see what Habakkuk said and to bring that home, so to speak. May we arrive at this place that Habakkuk was at. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me just paraphrase that just a little bit before we go any further. This is Jim's translation, Jim's paraphrase. Even though it seems like everything or nearly everything in life is going wrong, COVID has ravaged us. Death has happened. Disease, cancer, divorce, destruction, wars and rumors of wars. And even though all of that is a reality, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will find joy in the God of my salvation. Are you hearing him this morning, friends? I've had to work my way through this. I've had to remind myself of this often lately. My own physical struggles this winter and death of more friends and obstacles and hurdles in life. I love these verses because it reminds us, it reminds me at least, regardless of your circumstances, God is still on the throne. Regardless of my pain, yours, Ukraine's, regardless of our difficulties in America and the globe because of COVID, will we say, like Habakkuk said, I will find joy in the God of my salvation? Can we get to that place when all else seems to be going to heck in a handbasket? Will we continue to say, I will find joy in God? I will rejoice in the Lord. When you're in pain, and some of you are, like I am this morning, when you are in physical pain or pain of the heart or anguish of spirit, it is not easy to say what Habakkuk said, I will find joy in the God of my salvation. You hearing me this morning, friends? It isn't easy to get to that place of total dependence and surrender upon the living God when you're in pain of heart or anguish of spirit or physical pain to say, yet I will rejoice in him. But that's where Habakkuk was at. Now, to help us make just a little more sense of this, I want to give us a little bit of background because perhaps not everyone is experts on Habakkuk or the timing of that book. Habakkuk is a contemporary of Jeremiah. I think we all know Jeremiah. Jeremiah was the prophet shouting to Jerusalem and Judah for 40 years. Repent and turn back to God or else. And in time, at the end of Jeremiah's ministry and pretty much at the end of Habakkuk's, Israel is carried away by the Babylonians to captivity. We know that much, right? Work with me here. We know that much, or I got to tell us the whole story. We know that much. In 586 BC, because of sin and idolatry, and one of the kings of Jerusalem even sacrificing his own kids to an unknown god, in the Bible says passing him through the fire, they had gotten to that point of degradation, idolatry, and abandoned God. And so in 586 BC, you all know the story. Nebuchadnezzar comes in, Babylon, the army comes in, they squash Jerusalem, they take the captives, they kill off masses of them. That's the setting for this. Jeremiah knew it was coming, Habakkuk knew it was coming. As a matter of fact, when you look at the first chapter, the first and second chapters of Habakkuk are also very good. I just wanted to get to this part because I think some of us are there at that point. But when you look at chapter 1, Habakkuk says this to God, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. This is in the first chapter. Why do you show me iniquity? This is Habakkuk pouring out in anguish of spirit for the condition of Jerusalem and Judah and knowing what's going to happen. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. And when you read through the rest of chapter 1, God answers him. He tells him why. He tells him what's going to happen. Destruction is coming via the hand of the Chaldeans because of sin. And then Habakkuk also in chapter 1 asks this, why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Why do you do that? Habakkuk asks God. God answers that too in chapter 2, if you'd care to read it. And so what's my point here for this morning? My point simply is this, friends. Things go wrong in life, go against our will at least. We get challenged in life. The Israelites got challenged. I guess you can conclude it this way. Life is not perfect. Have you noticed that? Yeah, so have I. Things went wrong for the remaining Israelites. Some of it was self-induced, obviously, because of sin. At this point in the story of the history of the Israelite people, you know the story as well as I, some of you, that the northern tribes are already carried away to captivity by the Assyrians. Jerusalem and Judah have been left. They're worshiping God with some kings. They're not worshiping God with some kings. Some of them are deep into sin and idolatry. And they have found themselves in this place in their history where God is going to use the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to chasten them, to carry them off to captivity. And Habakkuk is saying, why are you telling me this? Why are you showing me this? And so my point is, things go wrong even for God's people. Things go wrong in your life. Things go wrong in America. Things go wrong in mine. Things go wrong in the church. Death happens. COVID happens. Cancer. There was two boys here this morning. One of them's in a wheelchair. They're just boys. They're just little boys. But disease has happened, and that disease will take their lives before much longer. They're on the prayer list. They've been there for a while. They were here this morning with us. Life happens, and sometimes it hurts. Sometimes it hurts our hearts. Sometimes it hurts us physically. Sometimes it hurts in other ways. Sometimes things go wrong, at least according to our will. Did you notice the title? I titled today's message, Trusting Him Anyway. Trusting Anyway. Disaster, destruction, death. It was all coming to Israel, to Judah, to Jerusalem. And that's where Habakkuk speaks to these verses in chapter 3, New Living Translation. I'm going to read that. Show us that one, Kristen. This is where he got to, knowing impending doom was coming. He said this. I love this, the simplicity of the New Living Translation. Even though the fig trees have no blossoms, there are no grapes on the vines. And even though the olive crop fails and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, do you see the tragedy that is impending? Even though all of that is a reality are going to be, he says, in all of that, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me as sure-footed as a deer, able to tread upon the heights. You see where he got to? His faith isn't in the olive trees at this point. It isn't in the flocks. It isn't in the fields. And for us, it ain't in our bank accounts. It ain't in our vocations. It's not in our titles. It's not in our stuff. Or if our faith is there, we'll never get to the place Habakkuk was in saying, you go ahead and take it all. My faith is still in you. Habakkuk's words here speak to me, speak to us, I hope, in the church, because he's reminding us, my faith is not in the king, or in our case, the president. My faith is not in the government. My faith is not in my belongings. And if it all disappears, I'm still going to praise the Lord. Are you hearing him this morning, friends? If it all disappears, I'm still going to praise the Lord. That's where my strength comes from, Habakkuk said. For them at that time, stuff was about to go really, really south. And Habakkuk says, in spite of all of that, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, friends, I think that's, I think I gleaned from here, and it has to take personal application. For me, for you, for us, as it did Habakkuk, I think I've got to glean from here, what am I going to choose? Am I going to choose to trust him and follow him and worship him in spite of my circumstances, or am I going to choose to trust him and follow him and worship him only if it's going well? Habakkuk is reminding me, at least, and I hope he's reminding you, You can take it all, Lord, and I'm going to worship you anyway. And I wonder, friends, because we have seen plenty of difficulty, destruction, death, mayhem, madness, wars, are we at that point where I can say, or you can say, as Habakkuk said, you can take it all, I'm going to worship you anyway? Because that's where he wants us. If my faith is not in him, what is it in? The king? Habakkuk says, no, it's not in the king. The olive trees, the flocks and the herds, what is my faith in? My occupation, my paycheck, my retirement? Or is it in the living God? And can we then say, you can still take it all and I will trust in you? That's what he said. I'm not minimizing the death that's happened around here because it's happened frequently, okay? So forgive me if that seems like I am. I'm not. We buried, and Tim reminded us, this lovely plant this morning is in memory of Dick, who sat right back here, first service, for the last 12, 13 years. I'm not minimizing death because it's happened a lot lately. But I'm asking us, even if death happens, or your health is out the window, or you're in pain, like I seem to have found myself in a lot lately in my neck for some reason. Are we just going to throw up our hands and bail and say, if that's how you are, God, I've got nothing to do with you? Or are we going to say like Habakkuk, I'm going to trust you no matter what? That's what I'm asking us this morning. And I'll say this too, friends. You'll never get to that place of saying, God, take it all. You'll never get there unless you surrendered to Christ. Everything. Are you hearing me this morning? You'll never get to that point, and I won't either, of saying, Father God, you can take my flocks, you can take my herds, and I see the olives, they're not bearing, and the vines, they're not bearing, and the figs, they're not bearing, but I'm going to worship you anyway. I'm going to keep trusting in you anyway. You will never get there if Christ is not Lord of your life. If the Spirit of God, we talked about the Spirit here a little while ago, have we oppressed, you say, well, I'm a Christian, Jim, have I oppressed and suppressed the Holy Spirit of God to the point I'm just operating on my own, or is the Holy Spirit of God leading me? Because if the Holy Spirit of God is leading me and Jesus Christ is Lord, then we can get to that point where Habakkuk was saying, you can have it all and I'm going to trust you anyway. That's what he asks of us. You see, that's a choice. That's a choice. Whether I'm going to surrender to him everything or just stuff that's handy. That's a choice. I talked about a heart condition here the last couple of weeks. This is a heart condition. Habakkuk has chosen to give it all to him and say, you can take it all. You can destroy the nation, because that's what was going to happen. The Israelites were going, they were going downtown to Babylon as slaves. Some of them were going as eunuchs. All you got to do is read the second book of Chronicles and the second book of Kings. You'll see the details. And that's where Habakkuk 3 comes into play. Nothing is going right in Israel. Yeah, it was self-induced because of their sin. But nothing was going right. And Habakkuk makes this bold proclamation, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Let me bring this all together, friends, by saying a couple things. If we're still holding back some parts of our lives from God, saying, you know what, I think I can manage that on my own, Lord. I don't need to surrender that to you. I don't need to surrender this to you. If we still think, well, this whole paycheck, that's mine, or this whole education, that's mine, or this whole vocation, that's mine, this whole possession I got, that's mine. If we're still in that category, we ain't ever going to be like Habakkuk. We're not ever going to be to that point of saying, God, take it all, and I'm going to worship you and praise you no matter what. We're never going to get to there. If we're still clinging to our stuff, our flocks, our herds, our possessions, our toys, if we're still clinging to all that stuff, we're never going to be like Habakkuk was. And I'm not minimizing people's stuff because God blesses us, but if we're clinging to that as our treasures and our God, we're never going to be like Habakkuk. You see, friends, it boils down to this. We have a choice to live for, to worship, and to praise the living God and His Son, Jesus Christ, even when it isn't going well, or we have a choice to reject it all I've talked about the broad road and the narrow lately. We've talked about the Spirit leading in our lives lately. We've talked about these things, and this goes right along with that. We have a choice to worship Him and surrender to Him everything, because if we don't surrender to Him everything, we may as well surrender to Him nothing. He is either Lord of all, I've said this before because someone asked me about this lately, or He's not Lord at all. And for Habakkuk, He was Lord of all. We have a choice to live for and worship and praise the living God, even when it's not going well, or to walk away from it. But I assure you, if we walk away from it, it's not going to go well in eternity. And so I ask us this. Will we only praise Him when all is well? When my health is good? Or America's state status is good? Will I only praise Him then? Or will I praise Him when I've been told? I learned of another guy this morning with cancer. Will I praise Him then? When my spouse has walked out on me, will I praise Him then, or am I going to praise Him only when it's good? When we've lost yet another friend, after multitudes of others in the last 2 years, am I only going to praise Him when nobody passes away? Or am I going to praise Him regardless of the circumstances? We have a choice to say like Habakkuk, yet I will rejoice in the Lord no matter what, or not. Now, personally, I want to be in a place like Habakkuk was. I have not always been there. Even sometimes lately, when the pain keeps me up at night, I have not always been at a place where Habakkuk is in chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. I have questions, like Habakkuk did in chapter 1. You have questions when you've lost your loved one, or your loved ones are sick, or got another new diagnosis. We have questions like Habakkuk had. But even with the questions, he still arrives at chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. I say hallelujah. Are you hearing me this morning, friends? Even with our questions, even with our burdens, even if our physical pain, our heart pain, even with wars and looking like disasters coming, it could get worse in America. I've mentioned that before. You already know that. Habakkuk knew it could get worse. And he still arrived at the point that he arrived. I love the simplicity of the New Living Translation. He still arrived, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. And here's where I've really had to depend on the Lord lately. His words are, the Lord, the sovereign Lord is my strength. Are you hearing what he's saying this morning, friends? With COVID and cancers and family difficulties and death, we've been through a lot, but it might get worse. We're morally, spiritually, and financially bankrupt in this nation, and it might get worse. Will we arrive at the place Habakkuk is? Are we just going to throw up our hands and say, if that's how you are, God, forget it, I don't need you. I want to be like Habakkuk and say, God, even if you've taken my health, taken my strength, I want you to still be my strength. And my prayer is that the church, our congregation, but the church in the 21st century would be the same. Take it all, Lord, if you want to. I'm going to trust you anyway. That's my prayer for us. That's my prayer for me. Let's get ready to sing this last song. It's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And I don't know about you, friends, but I've seen the faithfulness of God. Amen? I've seen the faithfulness of God. I think Habakkuk did too. I think he saw the faithfulness of God. And even when it's not going well and you don't feel good, I want to encourage you to surrender everything to the Lord. Allow the Spirit of God to move you in that direction. Because you have surrendered everything to the Son of God, you have made Him master and Lord of your life. Let the Spirit of God move you to that place that Habakkuk said, even though this, even though that, even though the other thing, yet I will praise the Lord. God's faithfulness. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. All blessings are mine and 10,000 beside. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. Oh, I'm not the only one here this morning, Lord, hurting in their physical body. Some hearts hurt this morning. Their families are hurting. They've lost loved ones. They're hospitalized. They're wayward. But you, Heavenly Father, are still faithful. And so I ask, Father God, by your Spirit, strengthen, encourage, guide, forgive, and bless whatever we need, whatever is amongst us today in this congregation, whatever the needs are, Father, move by your Spirit and draw us to that place where Habakkuk was, that place that said, yet, I will trust you. My strength comes from you. Move us to that place, Father, as a congregation, as a church. Move us to that place of total dependence upon you. In spite of our circumstances and what's happening around us, guide us, Lord, to that closeness to you. I do pray for those that are hurting this morning. They've lost loved ones. They're sick. They've got new diagnoses, whatever the case may be. I do pray that you'd encourage them. I do pray that you'd walk with them. I do pray for those that have gone prodigal, that you'd draw them back. I do pray for those that haven't yet found Christ as Master and Lord, that they would find their way to the cross and repent and claim Christ as Lord and commit to living for Jesus. I do pray for that, Father. But I do pray for your church that we would find ourselves at that place of total dependence and trust in you no matter what. So I pray, Father, that you would bless these people here this morning, that you would bless them and that you would keep them, that you would make your face to shine upon them, and that you would grant them peace, that peace we find in Jesus. Go with us now this day, I pray. Watch over those who aren't here. Bless them and keep them and make your face to shine upon them. And draw us close to you, Father. I pray it all in the name of Jesus. Amen.